Wait. Hang on. Hey guys, Rethinking Football is sponsored by Prospect Sports International Academy in Spain. If you're a young player ages 15 to 22 and you're interested in playing abroad at a high level, then check out the International Academy at prospectss.com. That's prospectss.com. Now back to our regular programming. Take it away, intern.
Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Rethinking Football Podcast, where we discuss player development with players, world-renowned scouts, professional football academy directors, coaches, and others. We will use Spain's model and compare it to other national governing bodies in other countries. At the end of each podcast, we will update our theory of change to improve player development worldwide using indicators, best practices, and our own research, along with the opinions and expertise of our guests. Larry Sunderland has been recognized as a top coach and a visionary advancing the sport of football and player development in the United States. Sunderland is the current Portland Timbers Youth Technical Director. Prior to joining the Timbers, Sunderland served as Technical Director of the Chicago Fire PDL Program, Super 20s, and Fire Juniors Youth Club.
Thank you for joining us for part two of a three-part series with Larry Sunderland. Today we're going to continue our conversation with Larry as he explains to us his experience as the parent of a young player who has previously trained and played in Spain. Join us as we continue the interview that is already in progress. Larry, let's shift gears just a bit and talk about your experience as the parent of a young player. I know your son has been in an academy in Spain. I understand he's just returned. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. He was with Levante since this past July, and he's just recently come back. To be honest with you, we've had problems with the registration process. And I think for other parents out there, it's important that they know it's not an easy process when you bring a player from the United States to Europe, or when you try to bring a player from Europe to the U.S. It's very tricky, and it's a time-consuming thing. And with my son Lawson, it just became, after he turned 16, it was just consuming a little bit too much time, and he and I, along with the staff at Levante, decided that for this year it was going to be important for him to get back here so we could get regular competition, which he wasn't able to get in Spain because he couldn't be registered. And then we'll look at things again, perhaps. That was his particular situation.
So how long had he been competing in Spain before he returned to the U.S.?
He went to Spain this preseason, so this past July. So he was there about 7 months.
When he went in July, did he go for a tryout at that point, or did he go prior to starting to play in July?
Yeah, he had gone for a trial prior to going back in July for preseason. He went to Spain as a 15-year-old, and we knew the registration process. We knew we weren't going to be able to begin the registration process until he turned 16. So we were already aware of the fact that the first 4 or 5 months of his time there, he wasn't going to be able to be registered. It wasn't until after he turned 16 that we started the paperwork, and eventually it got denied just, you know, a month ago or so.
So why did you choose Spain for your son?
Really interesting question. For a lot of reasons, and then also just as opportunity presented itself. First, I've done a lot of travel in Europe and visited a lot of academies around the world, and I just, for me, I like the way they work in Spain. So I thought from that standpoint, as a soccer professional, I was comfortable with it. as a dad, I love the Spanish culture. I always enjoy my time there. And obviously the football culture is a fantastic one. So that made sense to us as a family. And then going back again to the soccer professional, as I looked at my son and kind of taking the idea that he was my son out of it, I looked at him as a player, and his style of play, the way he plays, the fact that he is a very late physical mature, I thought it was a good fit, because I tend to think in Spain they look at players a little bit differently. Not just Spain, and there are numerous places in the world, but I think Spain is maybe a little bit ahead of the way they look at late developers as well. So I thought it was a good fit for him from the soccer standpoint. And that was the extent that we went about our thought process. It was very unique for us, because oftentimes I look back and I go, boy, I wasn't very diligent in understanding things and digging deeper. I mean, we kind of just went, okay, this kind of makes sense, and kind of dropped them on the doorstep. But that also ended up being another reason. Lawson's a little bit different like that. He had no problem with that, and the experience for him to be overseas anywhere was something he really wanted as a life lesson, as an education beyond the soccer, because none of us know where the soccer is going to go, you know. So it made sense on a lot of fronts for us.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense, and you're absolutely right that I think every kid is different, and every kid is going to handle a situation like that in their own way. And so, you know, it sounds like your son really had the right, you know, he checked all the right boxes for that experience to go and spend several months in Spain training and playing. As you know, Spain has within its development system a place for players 18 to 22 to continue developing. And they can do that outside of going to college. So, for example, in third division in Spain, they're required to have at least 6 players who are U23 on their team roster. This gives young players with level a way to improve their skills in a 10-month season and stay on a path to professionalism. But it seems like in the U.S., the only option for development for players in that age range from 18 to 22 is through college. And oftentimes, these players aren't developing their skills to a high enough level to play professionally. Even if they are to get drafted, say, by an MLS team, many times they don't have the high enough skill set to get minutes. So how far are we in the U.S. from having a bridge like this for our players?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I would throw not yet, right? We are developing that. I do think we're very unique in this country. I absolutely believe that college plays a role in the development of future professional players in this country. There's no question about that. It is one pathway in this country that's quite unique, right? That you don't have in other countries. And how we make that a benefit, how we take advantage of that, I don't have, per se, I don't have an answer for that, but you see it happen. You see it can work. You look at a player, you know, you look at Jordan Morris, right? So I that is one pathway. I think what USL has been doing, along with so many other things, there's so many things changing in this country so fast, whether it's through U.S. Soccer Development Academy, whether it's through MLS, whether it's through coaching education that U.S. Soccer is doing and MLS are doing, whether it's through partnerships, and of course what USL is doing is amazing. I mean, they're touching on a lot of new frontiers with USL, and I think that right now is probably our best link for that player 18 to 22 is the USL programs right now, and those are going to be continually changing. Where that all goes, how we how we use the USL program as a development team for first team, or is it a pro team standalone trying to win the USL championship? I think those are mission statements that are going to have to be balanced out between various clubs and the league itself. But I think those pathways are definitely being more further developed in this country, and I'm excited about it. We don't know how to use it quite properly yet. I think we're learning. I think in this country we're going to learn from one another if we share information. I think we're going to learn how the different MLS teams and the USL teams are working together to develop players, what works, what doesn't work, what works, going back to this player asset idea, how it works to further recoup monies that we've spent on development. I think there's a lot of ideas out there, and I think we're going to have to play with them, and we're going to have to fail in order to learn. But I think these things are happening. So it is an exciting time from that standpoint.
Absolutely. Can you talk about what you see as the differences culturally between the way young players approach football training in Spain and then compared to how they the players approach it here in the U.S.?
Yes, culturally, again, I think it stems from a cultural basis, right? Every dad in Spain, their dream was to play professional football. Every dad in Spain grows up knowing the game, and that's just kind of passed on father to son, and this drive of the dream is there in every player in Spain. So when they show up to train, they are very, very serious about it, and, you know, to use a coaching terminology, they get after it. Right from the time the ball rolls on the field, they're getting after it, and I really I appreciated that, and I'm always trying to learn from it, and it was amazing for me to see, you know, from the very first day of preseason, it was go. They got after it. They want them to compete every single day, and whether it's Thursday training or Sunday game or Saturday game, they're training and competing the same way. So what I saw was just a complete commitment every time they stepped on the field. And I'm, you know, I'm just thinking that through as I speak about it, because I tend to go over to Spain and I look for different things, or I go to Europe and I look at different things and I come back and I go, oh, okay, are we doing this right? Are we going too far here? You know, so that was kind of my my evaluation of it when I was over there.
I like where you're going with this, and I wonder if it's possible for the U.S. to make a similar shift culturally to what you just described about in Spain, like where every day is the big game. Everything, you know, there's a different drive, it seems. And do you think it's possible for that to happen here in the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely. That's happening. There's no question that's happening. That's an organic thing. That's just generational. That's time. But for sure that's happening. I mean, just look at where the game is going now. Look at the exposure to the game we have now. You know, you can watch games, you know, every day of the week on TV. It's all over TV, whether it's foreign football or whether it's MLS or USL. It's all there. So it's really... It's flooded into our life now, and I think that's what we need. And you know, I think we got ahead of ourselves when we were looking 20 years ago and thinking, oh, it had arrived, right? I think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves, a little bit anxious. But I will say now, and having gone through this, and this has been my life, and my dad, it was, you know, part of his life for sure too. I do think it's arrived. You know, when you see stadiums and you know, just fans dying for the game now in a lot of different places across the country, and there's this kind of organic groundswell now of people that, you know, that want the game. it's happening, you know. So I think you'll see those things. You just got to give it time.
Absolutely. Does your son have plans, or does he want to go back to Spain to play again?
For sure. I mean, he it's funny, we talk about it, and he says he misses his brothers in Spain, and you know, that's a cultural thing too. I think he misses that, of course. He misses the food. I know, you know, he's trying to get us to cook more Spanish food here. So he misses that. He misses the football and the culture and those pieces. He's happy to be back here because I think he realizes that at the moment, and everybody's development and times change and are different, at the moment this is a good place for him to be. So because he was missing something in Spain, and that was, you know, you have to get good games. So he realizes that he's in the right spot for him right now. Does he want to go back? He does, but again, I think Lawson looks at things, I don't know why, it's not me, but Lawson tends to look at things maybe a little more globally. He may go back to Spain, but he may want to try a different country too, you know, because while he wants to be a professional soccer player, he also is a pretty intelligent kid, and he realizes that there's an awful lot of good outside of soccer too.
Sure.
So we'll see.
Sure. Okay. So what does your son see as the benefits of being immersed in the Spanish system for the last several months?
I think outside of the soccer things to start, he's fluent in another language, which he wasn't before he went over there. That was a fantastic experience for him. As a 15-year-old, just turned 16-year-old, for the most part, he was living on his own. He was in the residency program, and his safety from that standpoint was taken care of. But he was 5,000 miles away from his family, and he learned to manage things. Something obviously he wasn't going to get here, with his mom and dad making sure everything was taken care of for him. So I think those aspects, the social aspect of meeting new people, the courage of doing it, I think those things were fantastic for him. And he sees those as a great benefit. From the football aspect, I think he felt like the experience was great for him. He feels like the speed of play, the intensity of play, the competition and training was very good for his development, with the caveat that up to a point. So once it became, well, once the season started there, he had to bounce around between various teams for training because he wasn't registered to one team. So his schedule was, you know, you're going to train with Ubi B today. You're going to train with Ubi C today. Tomorrow you're going to train with the internationals. So it got a little bit to the point where the regular, consistent training wasn't there for him. And when it got to that point, he and I both decided that the lack of being able to play games and the regular consistency in the high-level training wasn't there for him, that the best place for him right now was here. And I want to be very clear, my knowledge of the MLS Academy, not just Portland's Academy, my knowledge of the MLS Academies is we're doing a really, really good job here. I don't want anyone to think that, I don't advocate at all for, players need to go to Europe. I don't think that's the case at all. I think MLS player development is doing a fantastic job. It's getting better and better all the time. I do believe there's different pathways for different players. And I think we need to look at that as a country going forward. And how do we take best advantage of that? I think there's some creative ways that we can make all those things work. But going back to my son, I think right now, for today, he's in the spot he needs to be in, if that makes sense. I think Spain was fantastic for him, and had the registration worked out, it could have been a fantastic place for him for many years. Who knows? But right now, he's where he needs to be, and he's in a very good developmental environment for him at the moment.
Right. And I think, you know, when you talk about how it was, it depends on the player, right? That there's an experience that works on the individual level that doesn't fit for everybody. Everybody kind of has their own path. And I think that having an opportunity to play overseas can be a benefit for some players. And I think that goes both ways. You know, one thing that Spain does well is they recruit and they leverage foreign youth players or children of immigrants to strengthen their leagues. What do you think could be done here better at the U.S. Academy level or the local level to recruit players from overseas to come and play with U.S. soccer?
I think we need to do a much better job first locally, right? And then we can grow it regionally, nationally, and then look perhaps more international. But going back to the local, there are certainly underserved areas of this country, of our neighborhoods, where we need to do a better job in finding players and also doing a better job of creating opportunities for those players, not even opportunities at the highest level. Let's start with just a grassroots idea. How do we get that player in the community that can't afford to pay for youth soccer, that hasn't been identified? How do we get him on a good U-12 team? And, you know, maybe it's not even, we're not talking about a player that's going to go into the academy. Just a regular player. How do we create that opportunity for him? Because when you begin to do that, now you're going to find better players out there that potentially you could develop into elite players. So we need to be a better job of shaking some bushes, finding those kids out there, getting into the underserved areas. And I think there are many clubs out there trying to do a better job at that. I know there are, for sure. And I know U.S. Soccer is trying to do a better job at that with their scouting. So they're out there. We're trying to find them. And then if you start to look overseas, well, a big issue with bringing a European player to a U.S. academy is they have to be 18, right? Unless they have a U.S. passport. So we have to be able to get them an ITC, and those are FIFA rules. And those rules were put in place for, you know, some very good reasons years ago to protect children. Can those rules be adapted? Do those rules need to be modified? That's at a much higher level than me, but at the moment they are what they are. We do have some players in the Timbers Academy that are foreign players that I brought over at 18 so they could get their ITCs. And for some of the reasons that you mentioned, I think it's very important that there's an assimilation that happens. I think, you know, all these players, just like people, bring different characteristics and different life stories with them that just help to make us better players, better people. So I love the fact that we have some foreign players in our academy. I wish I could get them younger, but at the moment I can't.
Right. Speaking of integrating more players and players from really around the world, what about children of immigrants who are here but who may not be as familiar with the system here in the U.S. or not know how to become involved either at the local level or, you know, even to the academy level? What would you suggest are ways to include those families and those children in our system?
I think that's education and partnerships. I think it's very important that U.S. Soccer, MLS academies, youth academies, youth clubs are partnering with, you know, you have different agencies in the communities that deal with immigrant children. So I think there's partnerships out there that you can find, that you can have, and then you have to educate to the process, right? You know, we did something here in Portland just a couple weeks ago. A group from Timbers Army was working with a foundation that deals with immigrant children. So there was a soccer, you know, we had a training, we went out, we looked at the players for potential academy involvement. You know, at that point, there were no players there that were kind of at an academy level. But what we did is we connected them with a couple local youth clubs, and we're hoping now that partnership will lead to some of those kids going into their youth teams at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, how we can scholarship these kids, help them financially, and so that maybe, you know, down the line, there may be some more academy players coming out of that community. So I think there's ways to do it. There's partnerships to be had out there. And you'd be surprised. There are a lot of creative groups out there within MLS that I know are doing some unique things to provide that opportunity for those children.
That sounds great. I think you're absolutely right that creativity and innovation is going to be the key to making those approaches work. So that I think that sounds really exciting.
This concludes part two of our conversation with Larry Sunderland. Please join us for part three when we will be discussing national teams.
To access the transcript of this podcast and other archives, please visit our website, www.prospectsss.com, and click on podcast. That is prospectsss.com. If you enjoyed this show, subscribe to get the latest episodes directly to your device. This episode is brought to you by the Cerdanya Cup, the most prestigious international tournament of the summer. For more information, visit cerdanyacup.com. That's CERDANYA Cup.com. This episode is also brought to you by PSS International Academy. Research shows that in sports, the one thing that works and makes lower performing players better is immersion. To learn about our programs and how you can play federated football in Spain, visit prospectsss.com and click on International Academies. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF. Rethinking Football's theme song, Actionable, is courtesy of bensound.com.